Supra 1270, I'm Steve Black, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life on this Wattage Wednesday. We're talking with Monty Bessler from the Williston Basin, API member, and we're going to get into some of the social media stuff with Monty as well as the Frackinator. That's kind of his famous moniker. Supertalk 1270, I'm Steve Black, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. You can catch Jason Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Supertalk 1270. We're talking with Monty Bessler, better known as the Frackinator, up in the Williston Basin. And Monty, I have to ask, getting off the topic of chili, even though now I'm really, really hungry. What is the current state of the oil patch in North Dakota? We hear a lot of different things, you know, whether it's workforce issues or a myriad of things that kind of it waxes and wanes a little bit. We're very seasonal up here. What is your take? Where are we at overall as a shale play?
Well, one thing is we're significantly more mature than a lot of the other areas. And
define that, because a lot of people don't know what mature means.
Well, all of the
state throw that around,
the competitive acquisition of leases, drilling to hold production, a lot of that stuff has been taken care of. Now it's gone into more of a steady state development where you're going back into areas that you control the lease on, and you're now drilling additional wells to develop that resource. And that allows a little more controlled operation. And you see that the pad drilling, a lot of the work, a lot of the frack crews in particular are tied up on pads where they go in and they may be there for a month or better. Just fracking one well after another, same way with the drilling rigs. So it, as opposed to moving all over the basin now, seasonally, we're moving into, and it'll probably be starting, if it isn't already, in the southern part of the state, road restrictions, which always dampen the work. But it has maybe a little less effect in this part of the, as we mature, because in the past, we were still having to move every day, or, every 2 or 3 days somewhere. And you couldn't because of the weight restrictions. Well, now they're camped out on a location, and there's not much movement. Drilling rigs don't move for, maybe a month or two. And that prevents a lot of the issues that would basically put a drilling rig on the bank in the past, because they couldn't move the rig once it got done drilling until the frost road restrictions would go off. So that's,
you mentioned that Hess was going to be one of the participants in the API chili cook-off coming up in March. And didn't they just get bought out by or merge or something with Chesapeake or Chevron or something like that?
Yeah, Chevron. Well,
okay.
Did
you mind just kind of giving us a 101 of kind of some who the players are right now in the Bakken? Because honestly, Monty, with all the mergers and acquisitions and everything that's happened since COVID, it's kind of like, Chris Berman, rumbling, stumbling, bumbling. It's like, who scored the touchdown? Who's left now? Do you mind doing that without, without being political, just who's kind of who's who now?
Yeah. Well, obviously you mentioned Hess and Chevron. Now I think that's still being worked out, the details, because of the size of the companies and the sort. Chevron likely went after Hess, not just for North Dakota, but also for their offshore properties in Guyana, which was huge that Hess owned. And I believe would probably make them the operator in that offshore field, which is huge. So
we did a story on that actually when the merger first happened, or when the news broke that we believe that was the reason why. And I'll tell you another one that we did was Denbury, that when Exxon acquired Denbury, it was primarily for their carbon capture, Monty. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. Denbury was probably the premier pilot project for bringing CO2 to the Williston Basin, currently down in the south west part of the basin in the Cedar Creek Anticline. But they're making plans at least to be able to move it further into the basin. Of course, the mm-hmm. Summit deal is also a CO2 related project, bringing ethanol plant CO2 into the basin for storage, but also potentially for subsequent use for EUR later on. So, there's a tie-in to the oil and gas industry there with that. That it can never get going. There'll be a little bit of competition for Exxon, but then you have Whiting.
And the next one up is going to be Whiting, but I wanted to stop for a second and talk a little bit about some of the carbon sequestration projects. You mentioned advanced oil recovery and what that looks like in the future. A lot of these projects right now with the sequestration side on the CO2, it's really not open at the moment for enhanced oil recovery. What window do you see the enhanced oil recovery playing in what's going on in our oil play? Because using CO2 for enhanced oil recovery is huge. I admit that, and I'm looking forward to it. But I'm seeing a lot of these sequestration projects right now, like you mentioned, Summit Carbon Solutions, and that's down the road. That CO2 that would be coming into North Dakota, it's down the road. What's the timeline you see, or where do you see the enhanced oil recovery coming into its own in our play?
Well, I do think it's going to be a bit, and part of that is that, there's still significant part of the basin that's still in, early in primary recovery. But one of the big things that you have to have, and in a way the mergers and some of those things actually are helping, is that they're creating bigger blocks of oil and gas leases, that because when you do the EOR on the scale that's going to be needed in the Bakken, it's going to go from where it used to be small fields, it's going to be townships or counties size fields in order to be able to economically develop the EOR projects. You have to have a lot of space, and especially in these low perm reservoirs like the Bakken and Three Forks. So it's going to take a while. So I think that, the CO2, if it takes a while to get here, it's still not going to be too late as long as it gets here. It's going to be a benefit for both parties. I mean, the people that want to sequester the CO2 and those who want to produce more of the oil that's in the ground. There's a huge resource in the Bakken and Three Forks. You add another percent or two of recovery, and you're talking billions of barrels of oil. So it's significant, but it's going to take, things like unitization and to get all the operators that are involved and the leaseholders and all the involved people and parties to agree on a unit and a EOR project. So it's a pretty monumental task, but it can be done, but we've got to have the CO2. And that, surprisingly, everybody's complaining about too much CO2, but we don't have enough.
So. Well, and that's an interesting point that a lot of people don't realize, especially from a commercial and industrial perspective, there's just not enough CO2 out there. When you're looking at some of these other businesses that are working in the Bakken, I think Whiting was the next one you mentioned.
Yeah, the Whiting merged with Oasis, and now it's called Chord Energy. So that tied up a couple pretty good sized independent operators into one company, and Chord is one of them that's in the Chili Cook-Off that I mentioned. So
you mentioned Kraken. That's a relatively new company, isn't it?
Well, their profile is becoming a bit more public, but they've been around for 10, 15 years when they first started up, I think. But most of their acreage isn't in the, in the core of the Bakken. And so their operations are a little, they just don't get the press that the the middle of the basin gets. A lot of it's up in the northern, west part of the basin, north of Williston. And but they're an active, and they're doing some interesting things as far as the way they develop their wells, because they, you know, they have some limitations. They don't have as well, they aren't as well set up for gas gathering, for instance. So they have to look at different ways to handle gas versus flaring it, because that's not a popular thing anymore either. So
how about like Marathon, Conoco, EOG, Continental? Are they all still business as usual?
Yeah, EOG's got they were big in the Montreal area as well as a few. Marathon in Dunn County, parts of McKenzie County. They've got a pretty significant position there. Plus, they also have an office in Dickinson, and I believe maybe even in Watford City. Conoco. Then if you get down into Bowman County and you've got Conoco, and of course there's Continental, and Continental's down there as well as up here. They're probably the largest in terms of acreage and well count, really new wells anyway, producing in the Bakken across the basin. So,
yeah.
We're up against the break. This is Talk of the Town. I'm Steve Bakken along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. We're talking with Monty Bessler, the Frackinator. And
forgot who I was. Hey.
Hey. On a Wattage Wednesday on Super Talk 1270.
Mark your calendar for March 23rd. It's the API Williston Basin Chapter Chili Cook-Off. Can you handle the heat? March 23rd, the API Williston Basin Chili Cook-Off. For more information, visit www.willistonapi.com.
SuperDoc 1270, I'm Steve Bakken, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life, Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. You can catch The Crude Life right here on SuperTalk 1270 and a myriad of other stations around the country with that syndicated program. But we're talking with Monty Bessler, the Frackinator, right now.
Well, let's transition or segue to Abel. This is where Monty and I actually met. Steve was through a story that we were doing on the Crude Life. Oh boy, this was a decade ago, probably. Yeah. Where we always feature nonprofits, those that are involved with the communities. And, you know, this turned into one of those stories where, you know, Monty became more of a testimonial. So we kind of told the executive director, let's talk to the testimonial instead. And she thought, yeah, I'd rather have somebody out there who's actually giving real life experience about what the services they are providing. And Steve, you know this, the marketing directors and the executive directors absolutely love when the testimonials come, because that's speaking from the heart, and that's, you know, someone who's impacted by it. And Monty, we always love to give you an opportunity to talk about Abel, how it's affected your life, how you're involved with it. And for those people who aren't aware of what Abel is, capital A, capital B, capital L, capital E, and then the word Inc. is kind of the official name. But tell people what Abel is and what services they provide.
Well, Abel provides and basically took over in a large part for what the state was handling 40 years ago, when there was a lawsuit that basically required that handicapped people be allowed to have a lifestyle as close as possible to everybody else, not, you know, locked away in a, you know, stone, you know, castle somewhere. And they were released out into the state, and Abel jumped up and started a business. And the reason I bring up 40 years is this is their 40th anniversary, both at the end of the start of that program and also the beginning of Abel. So they're going to be doing some celebrations this year. And Abel is real close to me because of my son Sterling. is a resident in one of their homes. He's autistic. Absolutely, it is his home. He loves it. And what they do with him is amazing, and as well as the others. They will, you know, depending on staffing availability, will bring him somewhere for me. They've taken him to football games, the Bison, the Vikings. He will, you know, the plan is to come up for the chili cook-off. They may bring him. He may come with my oldest boy as well, but just we don't know yet. But they send a person along. I've gone to family reunions. He's actually gone on trips. He has to spend a certain amount of his money every year so he doesn't lose some of his benefits. And he loves it there. He was asked one time what he wanted to do with the money he had. And he said, I want to take Dad to a football game.
That is awesome. Monty Bessler, the Frackinator. Hey, we're up against the break, but just before we go real quick, I want to talk to you a little bit about social media. You tend to be a very outspoken person. Frackinator is well known in a lot of circles in the energy sector. And part of the reason that people appreciate what you have to say is the fact that you are outspoken and you don't, there's no fluff. You cut right through the BS and say it like it should be said. Got you in a little trouble on social media. You're back on social media. What's the messaging out there?
Well, it's a lot of the same stuff. I think some of the, canceling, for lack of a better word, that kind of got me bumped off at one point in time, it isn't quite as bad as it used to be, but I still cannot get back on the original name and email, so I have to use one of my other alternate ego or identities and get on. And I am Mr. Bessler instead of Monty Bessler, and the Mr. Bessler was the inside joke I've always had. My first and middle initials are MR, so all of my junk mail, a lot of it used to come to MR Bessler or Mr. Bessler. So I decided to go with that and get back on that. And now I'm well into trying to see what it takes to get bumped again. But
well, if you're looking for Monty, the Frackinator, and his alter ego or some of his alternate personalities, if you can't find him as the Frackinator, that's a couple places to look for. A lot of insight, a lot of information when it comes to the industry, a lot that you can still share, Monty. So appreciate the time you spent with us today, and always looking forward to our conversations, my friend.
Likewise. You guys do a great job for our industry.
Monty Best of the Frackinator. I'm Steve Bach, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. This is Talk of the Town on this Wattage Wednesday on Super Talk 1270.